Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever wondered what's really behind the headlines? Or why certain theories just won't go away? Dive into the world of the No Name Podcast, your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of conspiracies, politics, and everyday life. Each week, we blend our opinions, analysis, with some storytelling to uncover the hidden layers of our world. From the latest political intrigue to the most fascinating conspiracy theories, we bring you a balanced dose of skepticism and insight. Whether you're a seasoned critical thinker or just curious about the whispers that swirl around us, we offer a space where your questions are welcome and your mind can wander free. Tune in, spark your curiosity, and let's embark on this journey of discovery together. The No Name Podcast, where every episode is a new chance to think critically and see the world through a different lens. Don't miss out. Like, share, and subscribe today and join the conversation.
Hey, this is Jeremy coming to you from the No Name Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? It's Dustin.
And I'm also Dustin.
Baby Dustin.
Do you need me to get you connected to the Wi-Fi, or are you good over there?
I'm working on it.
I'm happy to help. But just straight up caught him off guard when we opened up the show. Like, he didn't have his headphones on or
minor
something.
Minor panic attack.
Freak out.
It was kind of funny, though.
It was. You should have seen the look on his face.
See, I gotta get Baby D to help me get the camera set up in here so everybody could have seen that one.
I did think about that this week.
Oh, so you can help Jeremy do that for real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to him while I was in Tijuana, so.
we're just glad you made it back, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you know, I kind of made it in one piece, I guess you would say.
Made sure
minus a few.
I think we all made sure we were checking in on you.
Yeah, I appreciate the outreach for myself and my wife, you know, making sure everybody was good.
That's who we should have been checking in on, actually.
Yeah, for real. Dang.
Yeah, that was fun.
Amanda was so stressed out, she had to go get Italian food.
I was upset, too. I was like, Liam's my favorite place.
Oh, yeah.
Pervino's, man.
That's a good place, man. I love some Pervino's.
So good. I hear people talk about Olive Garden. I'm like, you are fake news.
Oh, man.
You know?
I love that. I love that Cataloni Genovese. That's so good.
Yeah, when I was doing a thing up at the church, there was I saw Baby D come around. He's got his little salad. He's like, I got it from Olive Garden. I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's blasphemy.
Their salad is on point.
Oh, man. Their salad's good.
I think that's the only thing that they have there that's good, but I don't know.
Their salad is good.
Maybe I don't even think their breadsticks are great, are they?
I'm like,
depends on the day.
I'm like, you can bring me just the bowl of salad, and that'd be good. That'd be good.
I told you the wrong one. It was the Promised Land.
See,
you should have figured that one.
There it is.
The Promised Land. You know, that's the
one.
The Promised Land.
So I was kind of hoping that maybe we could pick Baby D's brain a little bit today. You know, he starlights in a few different endeavors. So I was wanting to hit on one of them. I know you said you kind of forgot about it, but from what you recall, how did you feel about the five portal doors?
The five holy doors.
Holy, whatever. I don't even remember. See, it's out of my brain.
Holy
too.
Doors.
Yeah. I thought it was a little bit of a hype for nothing, personally. I didn't really venture into believing all of the things that everybody was concerned about with those, personally.
Yeah.
What did you think, Dustin?
I mean, I look at it as they perform these rituals.
Yeah.
So to me, it's no different than them performing a ritual and opening up a portal. They're just rewording it to make it look like something else. Now, I think that they poo-poo on paganism rituals and all this other stuff, but they literally did rituals and opened up a portal and called it holy. And I don't really understand the whole point of they're spiritually going to open up a door and physically open up a door and then spiritually and physically close it behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they can spiritually close it behind them. That's why they physically close it behind them, is to keep whatever they conjured, trying to keep whatever they conjured from getting out, or to Jeremy's point, like he had said, to keep other people from getting in to see it.
I got to be honest, as you're talking, I'm getting South Park vibes.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
We know, man. We know.
Do you remember the South Park where Cartman bought his own theme park?
Oh, yeah.
And he ran an entire campaign, like commercials and all, on You Can't Come. He's like, welcome to the great and wonderful theme park. You know, he's going through all the great things. He's like, and the best part is, you can't come. You know, and all of a sudden, they've just got people lined up for miles that want to get in. And it slowly but surely, he has to start letting people in to pay for them.
You hear him now. Get the hell out of my roller coaster. Get out of my roller coaster.
I mean, just wonderful episode. But as you're talking about that, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting a little bit, is almost like, here's this great, we're going to open up all these portal doors. And the best part is, you can't come.
Yeah. You're not allowed to see.
So, I don't know. It was kind of weird.
I think we're a few weeks removed from it. I don't think anything's changed. Anything earth shattering.
Seems steady as she goes.
And they stay open until 2026 or something like that. I think they close them again.
Do they stay open that long?
I thought so.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But that's weird. I guess we'll have to see what they do. But I haven't noticed anything really different.
I don't know. California did get destroyed by fire. So.
Fair. I mean, fair.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know if
cause. Trump did become president.
Fair.
But nothing bad happened at the inauguration.
But I was also going to say,
could have been because of the door.
They also believe in a holy circle. And so if that is true and they believe in a holy circle and they're opening up five doors, which is really five portals, and if you connect those, what's inside of a pentagram? A five-pointed star. So
yeah. What would have been wild is if when he opened the door, he just like disappeared. And you just heard him screaming. You saw his hand coming.
For all you know, he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, he may have. Who knows?
You didn't see what went on in those.
They may have Pope 3.0 out there at this point. Who knows?
Same robot as, or the same alien as Trump, or Musk, I guess. Musk. Right?
Science says that other dimensions,
or Joe Biden,
other dimensions do exist. So whenever he does these, he could technically be jumping dimensions and then coming back.
Yeah. I personally, I'm just not a believer in those things, personally. But I know there's a lot of people who are.
Yeah.
A lot of people
who don't believe in other dimensions?
No. No. Not in that way. Not in that way. I don't believe in opening the door and going to a portal.
What kind of other dimension would you believe?
I mean, I do believe in like spiritual things, supernatural, you know.
Just not in the sense of the doors.
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's just, you know, my personal.
Do you think that was more of like a dog and pony show, you think?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it was very, ritualistic. Everybody kind of gets excited for it. And it was the Jubilee thing.
Right. 25 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Or was it 15? 25. Wait,
it's 26.
26?
Every 26 years.
Ah, geez. That's crazy, man. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
We have moved on.
You'll be over 60 next time.
Oh, my gosh. That's weird to say.
It is weird.
Weird to say. So, what about... So, that's Catholicism in general. What about, like, a Mormonism?
Oof.
I gotta be honest. I had to dive into Mormonism for a reason I'm not going to say, but I had to dive in just to know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as I was learning about Mormonism, I was a little shocked to find out that your whole goal is to become a god.
Right.
That kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, as I was studying up on it and everything, I was like, ooh, that's weird.
Well, now, just to clarify, is that literally it? Like, are they literally trying to become a god?
Yeah.
Or is that, okay.
Like, as a Christian, your goal is to go to heaven and serve Jesus. As a Mormon, your goal is to go to heaven-ish and be a god, which is
weird.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that one thing I've found is that everybody wants to believe in something. And a lot of times, what people end up believing in is what they want to see for themselves, right? So I even just listened to a video today of a NFL star, Cam Newton, actually, talking about how in the Bible.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, it's Cam Newton, you know, PK.
Yeah.
Fellow PK, pastor's kid, right? My parents would literally murder me, but... saying, you know, that the Bible talks, that basically the Bible says that men should have multiple wives, right? Polygamy, okay? Which is a big fundamental thing in Mormonism.
Yep.
So he said all this, and I'm watching the video and I'm listening to him, you know, talk about David and Solomon and all the wives that they had and everything and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, he's literally saying all this because he's projecting. That's what he wants his life to look like.
Right.
He wants to be able to have carte blanche and have any female he wants and not to feel any kind of conviction or any kind of guilt because of it. And so he says, hey, it's in the Bible that it's a thing that we're supposed to do.
And here's this religion that lines up with it.
That lines up with it. And so now this is what and I think that, you know, with the thought of, oh, becoming a god, who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to be godlike? We all want to be able to do godlike things, of course. It's like, oh, this is amazing. I can do whatever. I can control whatever.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people, they end up believing what they're wanting to see for themselves. And I think that that kind of comes into play with the whole, you know, being godlike. Other ones where it's like, you know, only so many people make it into heaven. It's like, oh, I got to believe that one because I definitely want to go to heaven. So if I don't jump on this area, then I'm going to miss out.
Who is that?
Jehovah's Witness.
I was just about to ask you about Jehovah's because I've never really dove in to the Jehovah's. So they only believe there's a certain amount?
Yes.
Well, they believe in you got to do works, too.
That's why they come to your door.
I know that they believe they have to do works, right. But we had
Snowpocalypse
2.0. We have a camp down the street.
I passed it on my way here. Snowpocalypse 2.0 yesterday. They came to my parents' door. I'm like, really? That is dedication, and if I were God, I would let you into heaven right now. Because you risk your life to show up at their door.
Wow.
But yeah, it's not, you know, so that it is, so that's very, it's very works based, right? Which, you know, of course, you know, in my belief, everybody believes different, right? And believes what they believe. But you know, my belief, I believe in being saved by Jesus alone.
So do they believe that when you die, you go to heaven?
If you're one of the, I believe it's 144,000, and there's different levels. There's, you know, different levels of heaven. And
I mean, how do they know when the 144,000 are up?
Well, I can tell you the year is 2025 right now. So we're well past it.
Yeah. That's
always been, you know,
I'm confused now.
Very confusing. Yeah.
What's another kind of weird religion type like that? I mean, I hate to call it weird.
Unique. Than what
different.
You believe. Yeah.
It's like I tell my kids, I'm like, people believe different things about whether they, you know, how they get into heaven or whatever their end goal is. It's like like you were saying, people are going to believe what they want to believe. Everybody has to believe in something. So it's like, if that's what you feel like you need to do to get where you want to go, hey, I'm not here to judge because I'm doing the same thing for myself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't mean to sound rude, but I'm just wondering what are some different, because that I didn't realize that about the Jehovah's 144,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew they had different tiers too.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and again, you know, not, just to reiterate, like that's, I really don't cast judgment on people either because of the same reason. I'm like, you know what? We're all just trying to figure it out. And
that's right.
People are inherently going to identify with what they feel like is going to. I mean, there's people who are like, I'm just spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm just spiritual. What does that mean to you? I'm just spiritual. Okay. It just means I'm spiritual. It means I believe that there's spiritual things. Well, what are the spiritual things? Well, I don't know. I'm just spiritual.
I definitely agree with the Baptist that a good casserole will get you into heaven, especially after, after I mean, they church on Sunday. So,
and you can tell the ones that have been eating them too. So
I'm right here.
Well, I look at, and I've talked to Jeremy about this before too, and I kind of agree with him. I don't like the word religion.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
If I looked at all these religions, and if you look at the beliefs and all of the different ones,
mm-hmm.
there's bits and pieces of all of them that connect in some way. So Muslims believe some of the same things we believe. We believe some of the same things they believe. Mormons believe the same. Buddhists believe some of the same. Native Americans believe some of the same. So if I look at all that and I say there's truths in all of them, but there's also wrongs in all of them as well, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is the oldest religion, quote unquote religion, and what makes that one right over all the other ones? Now, which one started first and then which one broke off and what made that one break off and made that one right and this one wrong?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, because the problem is that, well, the problem with religions in general, I think, and talking about them is that if you look at them, they are all end up to some degree being man-made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be talking about God, they may be talking about Jesus, whatever, certain things. But when you get into different religions, they're man-made. Even in evangelical Christianity, it's the same thing with different organizations, different denominations. Is Jesus did not say, hey, you should be Assembly of God, or hey, you should be Baptist, or hey, you're right? He just said, go and make disciples.
Right.
Follow me, go and make disciples. But humans, man-made, we now have all these denominations mm-hmm. that have muddied up the evangelical faith and made it into this thing that, in my opinion, Jesus never intended for it to be.
That's right.
Because as long as we're all fighting each other and trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong and, you know, well, you can't vote for this person, or you can't go there, or you can't dress that way, or you can't eat this thing, you can't have a tattoo, whatever. All, you know, we have all these things, and it's like we argue about all these things. And while we're arguing about all these things, nobody's actually doing what Jesus wanted us to do in the first place.
That's right.
And we're just arguing with each other. And so I think that the denominations and just the evangelical faith, and then I think religions in general have happened for the same way. Because if you look at all these religions, like you said, there's a lot of things that are similar, right? Mm-hmm. So even with Mormons, they believe in Jesus, right? They talk about Jesus, but they have all these other things that are layered on top of it that really don't matter when it comes to eternity, but they've been twisted and intertwined to be made to seem to matter when it comes to eternity, when they really don't. Again, to distract us, because like what people don't realize, I feel like I'm talking too much, but what people don't realize is that like we think that the only you know, God talks about God things, but we forget the fact that like the devil was in heaven, and you think he doesn't know how to talk and how to deal and how to manipulate us into thinking that we're doing something for God, but we're really doing something for ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a master manipulator.
Master manipulator.
You know what's funny is when we got snowed in, I thought it would be fun to let my kids watch A Storm of the Century. Have you ever seen that?
No, I have not.
Okay, Stephen King movie
uh-huh.
where the devil comes back. And spoiler alert, because it's like a 30-year-old movie. But anyway.
That's why I haven't seen it.
Oh, Jesus. So the devil comes to this town, and he basically starts, you know, creating havoc.
Uh-huh.
But he causes the storm of the century so that everything's snowed in. Nobody can leave. Nobody can come in. And his end goal is that he wants one of the parents to release their child to him to take on the next, he's dying basically. So he needs a replacement.
Uh-huh.
So that's what the whole movie is about him trying to create havoc. And so it gets to the end and, you know, they don't have to release one of their children because at the end of the day, you still have free will. So my kids are like, why did you have us watch that?
Mm-hmm.
I said, the devil comes in all forms.
All forms.
He came. That guy came in here as a human being, and they all thought he was just a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a person at all.
Yeah.
You know, that was not it. And I said, the other thing is, you saw what those parents did at the end. Are you strong enough in your faith where you're willing to die, even if that means your children die, so that you don't sit there and cause somebody else to take the mantle of Satan, really?
Right.
I'm like, you need to be firm enough in your own stuff to make sure that you're willing to do that. I was like, because that's crazy to me. That was, that's a movie that just kind of messes with your head, you know, sometimes when you look at the whole,
Is it in black and white?
No, God.
You should make him watch The Stand.
Then I'll watch it then, you know.
You should have him watch The Stand.
Have you watched The Stand?
Yeah, I've seen The Stand. It sounds very similar to that.
Because here's the deal, though, with that, is people think that, or it's easy for us to think, I shouldn't generalize it, but it is easy for us to think that only bad things are the devil, right? But he'll use good things as well to get us off the path of what we're actually supposed to be finding important and doing. And so it's a manipulation tactic that comes in always, like whether it be like that in the movie or trying to get you to think, well, if I go around to, you know, 25 houses a day, then I'm golden.
Right.
And it's like, no, I mean, that doesn't define, you know, what Jesus did for you and you following him. So it's easy for us to get caught up in all of the things. That's why, you know, when it comes to like religion, right. And I think Jeremy's the same as like my approach would be, you know, obviously more of the relationship with Jesus, because
that's right.
We get caught up in, I'm not saying to like go and live like hell, but you know, you don't get so distracted and focused on all those and more focused on pursuing Jesus, right? More than trying to check all of these boxes, because as you do that, then you naturally want to check these boxes already, which is what, you know, Paul said. He says, and he says, I don't want to sin anymore. As I follow him, I don't want to do these things that I know I should not do.
Yeah. I mean, we've had that conversation before about there's so many ways, even when you look at the Bible, you know, we've talked about that a lot too, about it's been translated. So if you don't have your own personal relationship, then you're just going off of translation on some of it, you know,
100%.
You have to actually have that, you know, where are you at?
Which is, I'm such a big believer in reading the Bible for yourself. Like, we're in such a culture of especially like with social media and stuff, we let, like, you know, we're scrolling the feed and it's like, oh, this pastor says this, this minister says this, all this stuff. And we see all this stuff and it's like, we take it as gospel without comparing it to the Bible for ourselves or praying about it, right? Because like you said, yeah, the Bible's been translated, all these things. Like, just saying, you know, seeking God for ourselves, seeking our relationship with him for ourselves. And to the point of, you know, we think that, oh, because I watched a preacher for 5 minutes on Instagram or TikTok, now that you can for longer than 30 seconds or whatever you were talking about, you know, because I watched that, well, I did my duty today and I'm good. Well, no, like your time might have actually been better spent if you would have been just sitting there and just been quiet and just been like, hey, God, like, speak to me.
Right.
You know, show me what you have for me. Help me to know. But instead, we're just like, we're so focused on getting our information from everybody else or letting everybody else do the work for us. Right. Like, we think, oh, pastors study all week. They study the word. Everything they're saying is going to be gospel. And it's like, no, because pastors are humans too. Right. Which means that they're flawed. No pastor is Jesus. So they could get up there and say something selfishly to make, you know, to help themselves out.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of that before myself. You know, it's like, oh, I was feeling some type of way. And I just, man, the scripture fits so well with me getting this point across, you know, because this person really ticked me off this week. And it's going to be a zinger, right? But so it's easy for us to get so wrapped up in that. We don't realize like that, yes, do that, listen to it, but also make sure that you're pursuing your own walk with the Lord instead of letting somebody else live it for you. And, oh, they studied for 30 hours this week, so they did all the legwork, and now I just get to sit and listen to it for 30 minutes on Sunday morning, and I'm good. I checked my box. I don't have to do anything, and don't.
But that's the thing, is that if religion or your walk is checking a box,
right,
you're not doing it right in the first place. So,
100%.
If that's all you're in,
the point of what it was intended for,
right? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're not changing your whole, you know, or have changed your point of view, your lifestyle, whatever it is that, you know, you're trying to accomplish. If none of that is affected, you're just checking a box. Hey, I went to church Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I, you know, bought that guy lunch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've told.
Ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
I've told Jeremy and Trey before, like, so many times that you can, when you get that personal connection with God, you can feel God. Mm-hmm. You can talk to God in everything. You can feel him around you. You can feel him in the breeze blowing through the grass. You can feel him in the sunshine from the sun. You can feel him. You can hear him. you can connect with him on a different level, to where I don't like people. It's very important to read God's word, but it shouldn't be, that should be the only thing that you focus on, to where you don't take the time to sit down and pay attention and feel him and connect with him around you as well.
Right.
I've told them before too, like in what Jeremy was talking about with the translation of the Bible, it's important to read God's word. The only issue I have is the Bible has been translated so much, mm-hmm. people have to figure out what is God's word and what is man's word.
Simple solution, man. You just need to learn Greek.
Like,
that
I
is
mean,
simple.
You have the King James Version. You have the NIV Version.
Yeah,
you have
ESV.
Gideon Bible. You have all these things.
No, and it changes.
They change so much. Like,
yeah.
Then you have the Apocrypha that they took books out or whatever, however you want to name it. Who were they to take those books out?
Right. Yeah.
It's not up to them. It's
right.
God's word.
Yep. And growing up, I went to a Baptist school, so it was KJV only. You know, KJV was the only Bible. Like, everything else is flawed.
I just want to say, if you see that Bible, because I did the same, the Holy Bible, the blue one.
Oh, yeah.
I did that same school for a year.
Oh, you did. That's
right. That was the product of that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was small. I was embarrassed by it, but I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was only KJV, right? And then then it was only NIV, right? When I got out and went to college, and now it's ESV. I mean, it's Amplified, like the Message Bible.
How do you feel about ASV?
ESV?
American.
Oh, the American Standard Version. Yeah, I'm more of like an ESV.
Okay.
Right now, but to the point though, is even ESV is not exactly the way that God called it out, right? So this is where I think that our personal relationship with the Lord comes into play, because we're able to, I believe that God will speak to us, right, and guide us, and like you follow that intuition, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, that leads you to follow the part of his word that is him, right?
Right.
So I believe in the infallible word of God. I believe that, you know, the way that he wrote it and the way that he spoke it. I know that man has come in and screwed it up, as we do everything.
Everything.
But as a whole, his word is still true. So I think that it's important. That's why I tell people, don't just read the Bible, but like sit with it, you know, read, pray, ask God, like, what are you trying to show me? You know, anytime I'm speaking, I'm always saying, you know, like, God, speak through this message, speak through your word, what you have for each and every person here, because each and every person that comes in, right, is going through different things in life. Like, your life's different, Dustin, your life's different, Jeremy, you know, my life's different. All of our lives are different. We're all facing different things, but I believe that God can take a scripture and speak to all of our different situations if we sit there and are seeking him in it instead of just reading it. Like, the problem is we read the Bible as if it's another book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem comes into play. Cause like, when I'm reading a book, I check out, you know, I'm like, oh crap, I'm like 10 pages in. I didn't even realize, what did I read? And we do that same thing with the Bible instead of like reading and being like, oh man, okay, so this happened. Like, you know, God, what do you want to show me in this?
Low and slow.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh man.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've told them since I've reconnected with God and everything, when I read the Bible now, I do understand it more. I do take more from it because I feel him in that.
Right.
And I think that's important for everybody to do. Like I was saying, people still need to take time and actually feel him too in the earth and sit and listen to him, sit and talk to him, because he longs for that too. He's speaking to you every day.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's being intentional. Like, I think one of the biggest problems with modern day, whatever you believe, right, is people designate it to certain days. They designate it to certain times, right? Like, I'll just speak to Christianity because, you know, following Jesus, because that's really, you know, the lane that I believe, is people think, okay, I went to church on Sunday, right? Or I went to, you know, a small group on Wednesday, Thursday. But it's like, what are you doing every other day to really like see, like, can you see him in your job? Right. Can you like in your family should be your first ministry, but like your family looks like crap because you're so focused on trying to achieve or do all these things. And what should be your first ministry is falling by the wayside, but it's okay, cause we're going to be at church together on Sunday. I'm taking my family to church on Sunday. That's cool. But they're not going to want anything to do with church when they don't have to go anymore, because what they see at home is not a reflection of what they're learning on Sunday mornings. And so I think that it's being intentional. It's just being intentional about, like you were saying, like in everything that you're doing on a consistent basis. Yeah. I think the whole, not the whole problem, but a large problem in modern day, especially in America, and I love America, but is we really compartmentalize our faith and we only allow it to be included in the things we want it to be included in.
Yep.
Whereas you have people, if you go, you know, over into areas in China or areas in Africa, Indonesia, and you see where they don't take it for granted and how it is literally ingrained in everything that they do, every facet of their day, because they can't go to church.
Right.
So it's who they are. And for us, we take it for granted. And so we compartmentalize it. And so we're not going to let it be involved in our relationship because we like how our relationship is, even though we know that really, like, we can feel, we know that God doesn't want us to be doing this, but we're going to continue to do it anyways because I want to. But it's okay because I'm going to go to church on Sunday. It's like, that's not the way that it was.
It washes away, right?
Yeah, it's not the way it was intended to be.
Well, not only that, but I guess it's not just we as Americans, but we as people in general, too. We've become so closed-minded that we have narrowed in on, okay, because I'm a Christian and because I believe in God and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and He's the Son of God, that is absolutely, even though it's the truth, that is the only way of thinking. You have become so closed-minded you can't listen to someone else mm-hmm. and let them tell you what they believe.
Right.
Because the entire time, all you're thinking of is, they're wrong, they're yeah. wrong, they're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong,
yeah.
you're wrong, you're wrong. And I'm waiting on you to be finished so I can tell you why you're wrong. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're not learning anything from what they're telling you because you can learn.
Right.
You can learn from some of their stuff. You can learn from it.
Yeah.
You can teach each other because yeah. what they believe is still
what they believe.
What they believe.
Yeah. I think that I think it comes across arrogant sometimes
yeah.
to dismiss people based on them not having the same belief as you. That's why I try to I think a lot more good comes out of listening than talking sometimes and just kind of hearing, you know, what people are saying. Trying to understand why they believe what they believe, you know, not dismissing them as a person or dismissing them and saying that they're dumb, right? Because they don't believe what you believe. So, I definitely agree that that comes into play. I think there's a fine line between that and also if you see something that you like, the struggle is every, we want to witness, right? Mm-hmm. To people, like everybody wants, and I'm not just talking about followers of Jesus, Christians, anything like that. I'm talking about everybody. Like whoever believes what they believe it. And they want everybody that they love and care about to believe the same thing so they can go to the same place they're going. And so a lot of times it comes across as dismissive when we're really just trying to reach people for what we're believing in.
Yeah, just trying to understand.
Yeah. Hmm. So,
but that's interesting.
Yeah. But I think that we get so distracted by everything going on and by all the labels and all the titles and all the this and all of that. And what's amazing to me is if you look at like Peter, right? Peter, when he denied Jesus three times, right, in the Bible, there's a time that, you know, Jesus has been arrested, Jesus is going to be crucified, and they take Peter, you know, he's out, he's hanging out, and he's all nervous because all the disciples were like, are we getting wrapped up in this too? Is Jesus taking it for the team? What's happening? And the Bible says that, you know, Peter is over there hanging out and somebody comes up and they're like, hey, you know, like you're Peter. I know you were with Jesus. And the thing that Peter does is he curses, right? Curses him. He's like, no, I wasn't, you know, and he's trying to, they knew that he had been with Jesus, but then as soon as he curses, he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, okay, never mind. And then the second one and the third, it happens three times, right? Peter denies Jesus three times and all three times, he starts talking in a different way than he did when he was with Jesus. And he starts trying to make it seem like he wasn't with Jesus. And my point is when you've been with Jesus, when you follow Jesus, when you understand or, you know, the Lord, then your life starts to naturally look different and you have to switch it to make it seem like you're not actually there. And I think that should be our focus is more so like, I want people to be able to look at my life and be able to know what I believe. I don't want to be able to just tell them, you know, I don't want to point to things. I want them to be able to know just like by looking at my life and be able to see me and say, hey, I know because of the way you are that you've been.
I want what he has.
Yeah.
I
want what he, yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely the way to be.
Yeah.
It's better when you live it instead of tell.
100%. Because so many people talk.
So with the way that our current environment is, Mm-hmm. How do you think the church has to adjust, or do you think it adjusts to either reach or try to hang on to the people that are in the building? I'm not going to say the church, because obviously the people are the church, but
I think that it kind of goes back to what we were talking about of not allowing the distractions to come into place, right? And to focus on people and loving people the way that Jesus called us to love them, and to not get so wrapped up. Like, it's just, it drives me nuts to see how things like politics and like what we don't realize, politicians don't care about us.
Yeah.
Right. In that regard. But we get so fired up about it that I've literally seen people leave the church, like the global church, right? Like, I don't want anything to do with church because everybody, you know, they said this or they voted for that person. And it's like, these things don't matter. And so I think that in our current climate, we need to remove distractions.
Right.
And focus, you know, back on, I would say like our first love, right? Which is the Lord, and focus on the things that really matter, which is literally just Him.
Yeah.
And not all of the little this and that and that and that and all the boxes that have to be checked and everything. I'm a real big believer that if you lead somebody to the Lord, that He can bring the life change instead of trying to force the life change before anybody ever meets Him.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, before I met my wife, I didn't really care about the things that she, once we got married, she's like, hey, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Okay, cool.
You got it.
Yeah. But if she'd have come in the door saying that on our first date, I'd have been like, deuces.
I don't think so.
I'm good. But let the heart change happen and then begin to see the life change that takes place afterwards.
So you don't think we really need to adjust anything other than just continuing to put Jesus first? And if we do that, then...
I think that that's kind of what's become the problem, is church has become so focused on everything but Jesus.
Trying to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And trying to adjust, what do we have to do to attract people?
Right.
Well, I mean, Jesus, if you look in the Bible, Jesus attracted people everywhere He went.
Just by being Him.
Just by being Him. He didn't attract them by all these. He literally, everywhere He went, there was a crowd, right? Some were there wanting to kill Him, but there was a crowd. So everywhere He went, there was a crowd, but just by being Jesus. And I think that it really is so simple, and we've complicated it to where I think that what the church needs to change is simplifying what we've made complex. And I think that if you look, there's like, you know, a lot of just doing so much. And I'm all for being creative with reaching people. Like, I love that. Love creativity. Like, my MO. But I think that when we do too much, we complicate what Christ intended to be simple. And so then we kind of muddy the waters and people get led astray and they think, oh, you know, this is what following Jesus is. And it's like, no, this was just like for this day. Sorry. Well, different.
Right.
Other times, but
that's good.
Yeah. I think what's important is loving each other and letting everybody know too, that Jesus loves them too. Jesus loves them. He died because He loved them. He's a forgiving, giving Christ. But I think we also don't need to forget that we're in a constant spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, because as much as God loves you and as much as Jesus wants to bring you into the light and show you heaven one day, show you paradise, Satan is also, as we said earlier, he's a master manipulator. He will harness in and know when you are your weakest and when you're your weakest spiritually and your weakest mentally, and he's going to attack you to try and pull you over. So there is a constant battle going on. And I don't think we can ever forget that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Well, I think that's all I had on that. You guys have anything else?
No, we'll leave.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you being on with us, Dustin, Baby D,
OGD, OGD.
That's been a fun week. It's been a fun week. I look forward to
many more.
But thanks everybody for listening this week.
Remember, the truth's out there. Read between the lines.
Yeah.